On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Hello.
Tall Can Sports number 160
something,
I think. How's it going, man?
I think it becomes less relevant, doesn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Welcome live to Super Bowl CXXII
122.
Correct.
All right, look at this fucking
guy.
Yeah,
exactly. Roman numerals and all.
I only ever learned my Roman numerals through Rocky movies and WrestleManias.
Yeah, well, there you go. And Super Bowls, apparently.
Yeah, true enough.
I am fantastic. Thank you very much for asking. I am enjoying this. Honestly, it's been hotter in September and for the whole month than it has been.
No, that's true.
For the whole summer.
Is it native summer?
Aboriginal summer, I believe they're calling it.
Terrible.
It's a beautiful First Nations summer.
Yeah, okay.
You're good with that?
Better than
Aboriginal summer?
Sounds like a movie I would not watch.
Sounds like a vaginal spray.
Oh my. It does?
Summer Meadow.
Yeah, okay.
Aboriginal summer. I have no idea.
Yeah, you clearly have no idea. Threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Look at that guy.
Shout out to our first couple Patreon subscribers. Good for you folks.
Shout out indeed.
Probably on the next Whiplash, we may give official shout outs. But for right now, we had a couple of figures.
Hey, wait.
All right.
How about another shout out to a longtime listener who provided us with beer.
Yeah. Okay.
Listener shall go nameless, but arrived in studio today a couple of cans of Great Lakes Brewery Pompous Ass.
I'm sure there was no message intended there.
I tend to look past that. Never looked a gift horse in the mouth. Appreciate the beer.
That's right.
Thank you just the same.
You too are welcome to send us beer. That's never frowned upon.
No Laker, though.
And if you don't, yeah, no. Keep your Lakeport to yourself. Keep your Laker to yourself. But
Wildcat Strong is accepted.
And you don't have to go nameless. You send us beer. We'll show you it on the show.
For sure.
Is it okay now to proceed with the...
Well, before you get into what you want to talk about, any interest in, you see now with the home run record being smashed in Major League Baseball, you see the, like, season record.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sort of. I think we've talked early on in the season about what's going on with the new ball.
And really, it's in passing only.
Yeah.
But the number is home runs in the last 3 years up 47%. That's insane. Like, that's a crazy number.
And I think this time most people are talking about the ball more than the juice, right? We're not having that conversation on what the hell was that bottle in Mark McGuire's locker while he's being interviewed there, yeah. Right? Like,
no, for sure. And really, it was only in passing. I heard Mark Teixeira talking about it, and he was just saying,
sounding it out.
Yeah. Well, it never made any sense.
Toixeira.
The X in the middle. You're like, Xerox? Yeah. So, and him saying, well, I think there's a couple things, you know, and one is, you know, athletes are in way better shape. Shut up with that.
Yeah, seriously. Apparently only hitters, not pitchers.
Yeah, because he's number two was, and the shift in baseball
has affected the home run.
Yes, that people are deciding no longer is that it's harder and harder to get a single. It's better to put the ball in the air. This is a sport that's over 100 years old. Stupid. The shift has been around forever.
Shut up, Mark Teixeira.
Yeah. Dex Arcana.
Yeah.
And the third one was, and I think the ball's used. Okay, Mark. Yeah. Thanks very much, buddy.
Ask the Blue Jays pitching staff how they feel about, blisters everywhere, right? Well, hopefully not everywhere.
That's
but
exactly right. Stick to the pitching, please.
Yeah. There's been blisters on starters. There's been blisters on call-up replacement starters.
I didn't want to spend too much time on it. I was just, to me, it was, that number is, I find, astounding. 47% in the last 3 years increase in home runs. Yeesh.
I think that directly relates to the amount of time Giancarlo Stanton has taken off, and holy fuck. But speaking of a slugger, see what I did there?
That's fucking fantastic, man. Listener, good listener, prepare to be amazed.
Jose Bautista is this week in what is almost certainly his final homestand as a Toronto Blue Jay. The Jays are winding up a terrible season with a 6-game homestand, and then they'll go on the road to wind things down. Bautista, it's interesting, and we're going to get into a couple of things here, but what is actually interesting is the fact that I think fans know, and fans want to show some appreciation, but the team can't really acknowledge, it's not one of those farewell tours like Jeter's done, like Ortiz has done. The team and the player have a mutual option for next season. So, looks kind of bad on the team to be, say goodbye, because, you know.
Yeah.
But I think we all know.
Great point.
He's not coming back, right? So.
Because I think there's a slight pay increase.
Yeah, it's $18 million, I believe, for next season.
Okay, I think that's what he's making this year.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. I believe it's similar to, but.
Crazy.
Yeah, for a guy with the stats he has right now. But we wanted to talk a little bit about. And we're going to get into maybe mix and match and maybe a little later on, Vince Carter and a conversation around that. But for right now, what do you think Jose Bautista's legacy is in Toronto?
Wow. And you know what? And I think it's sort of swung 180 degrees. Now, I think he always had that sort of chippy personality.
Yeah.
But he was in those dark, dark days post-Halliday. He was the face of the franchise.
Yep.
Right? From 2010 with his colossal home runs. He was the face, and he was always a little chippy. He was always a little, but you know, you see him doing his bits with Cabbie on what was Sportsnet at the time, I think.
Yeah, it was the Score first and then TSN, and then he's bounced around. Yeah, Cabbie's not what he once was, eh?
No. But you know, he sort of had all these sort of sides to him.
Yep.
Right? And I think, man, shit went bad for him. Like it always does for everything, it seems. Like he hit this real high, right? Bat flip, bam, right?
And I don't necessarily just mean this season, but did he overstay his welcome in Toronto?
No, because the club brought him back.
Yeah, okay. Maybe from the perspective of the fan base, do you think he would have been?
No.
Toronto fans are also notoriously, doesn't matter whether you leave on good terms or you get traded against your will, when you come back, they boo you like idiots.
Okay, well, but to me, what happened was great 2015 season,
yep.
Right? That, you know, 40 home runs or 35, whatever he hit that year, right? I know
he was part of that resurgent. Team gets back into the playoffs for the first time.
Has that sort of that three-run homer in the deciding game against the Rangers.
Yep.
Yeah, you're writing your ticket at that point. You are, like, that's a huge moment. And then he mismanages it totally by rolling into camp saying, I know what I'm worth. They know what I'm worth. I'm not discussing it. We're not negotiating. Like, he came in with this total douchebag public stance. And I think everyone was like, whoa, we have all this good feelings.
Right.
And that's how you want to start the very next year, like the first day of spring training? You're going to come into town with that?
So you and I both read. I read the full thing. You tapped out.
I read the rest of it.
What was a terrific article on Vice Sports by Andrew Stoughton. Absolutely worth a follow.
I needed a sandwich and a nap halfway through.
It's lengthy.
Also, I said to you in the reply email, I read part of it on the weekend, but I felt like something shorter, like War and Peace. great article, though, it was.
Yeah, well-written, well-presented. And he talked about Jose Bautista constantly being in a shitstorm. Now, he didn't address how often Jose caused that shitstorm, but there's been this thing about people not everyone being totally willing to wrap their arms around and completely embrace Bautista as their own. Whether it was early on, well, the only way he could have turned and gone from nothing to the home run king being steroids
the Brady Anderson comparison was a great one.
Right. And him coming out and saying, you know what, they test me more than anyone else in baseball. I don't care about that. And there's a certain amount of, I kind of dig that personality, right? That, yeah, fuck you. I'm good no matter what you think. But there's a bunch of these things. There was the bat flip everyone is familiar with. There was the getting rocked by Rudan Odor in Texas a year later. And people, the underrated part of that story is after that punch, the next game back, Bautista homers to win the game against Texas, just to finish shaming those losers.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about also what that is Rugnid connected with a heavy shot.
He rocked him.
And he didn't go down.
Right.
And to me, that's also like the knees buckled, but
he I'm didn't still go, standing here.
He didn't go down.
Right. Right.
And he said that after he's like, yeah, but sure, it was a good shot. But I didn't go down. And then the appropriate sign that came with it in October saying, I'd rather get punched out in May than knocked out in October. Sweetness. I wish I wrote that sign.
Yeah, for sure. And he always kind of had that, as you've pointed out, but he was kind of – there was a great one. I know you certainly weren't on Twitter at the time, but Steve Simmons was talking shit and – Steve Simmons takes a lot of shit from Toronto sports fans on Twitter for being the way he is. And he mentions Jose Bautista in one of his things and actually tags him in one of the tweets. And Bautista quotes his tweet and just goes, who are you and why are you talking to me? And people loved it because fuck Steve Simmons, right?
Yeah, like, I've only been in media for 30 years in this city.
And so these sorts of things, Bautista, he never made his own life easy.
Yeah, but
on the field at the time, you were talking about a guy who could play multiple positions, had a cannon of an arm. Like, defensively, he was pretty good, and his arm was outstanding, and he would just crush bombs.
But in the early years, it was his defensive play and his arm that kept him going.
That's like, right.
Drafted by the Pirates, sent to the Orioles, sent to the Rays, sent back to the Pirates.
Yep.
Like, he was just getting a 20th round draft pick. And I think for a Dominican who came and went to, like, South Florida University or whatever it was, right? He came in a really sort of unconventional way, got ground up by the system a bit.
Well, and that's one of the points that Stoughton makes in his piece, that when it came time for Bautista, who had been abused by the system for so long to get paid by it, you know, things weren't really set up for him. When his contract came up with the Jays, he'd only had the one big season, so he didn't get the full payoff because was it a fluke, right? Can you do it again? And then when it came time again to get paid, he was kind of too old, but as you mentioned, he'd been kicked around. He'd been kicked through multiple organizations as an asset and not a player that someone was trying to develop. Right?
Still, I don't want to hear anybody say, hey, I was making 12.5 and 50 million. Right. I've already given you a hometown discount. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Okay. So
suck it.
You know, he's seen both sides of this system, but on the field, you know, it was hard not to. At least for me, it was hard not to be a fan, right? He played the game with a fuck you attitude, and he was good at it.
Right.
How do you not love that?
Well, and
we like our soft, cuddly
But do we? Yeah. When he's our guy.
In Toronto, yeah.
But no, when he was our guy, loved him.
Yeah.
Right? And you didn't mind that the whole bat flip and all that, that was, and he was a little chippy and he argued with umps, right?
Yeah.
But he walked a ton. He hit a pile of home runs.
Well, so from 2010 through 2016, I believe he was first in home runs hit and first in walks.
Yeah.
That's impressive because those guys who go up and hit bombs strike out a ton usually.
Yeah.
But he had an eye for it and he could force you to throw him what he wanted or he would just go take his base.
Right.
You got two options, walk me or let me fucking crush you.
Right.
Those are
to a guy who has set the Jays record for season strikeouts and they say may be the lowest, have the lowest batting average of any
yeah.
guy who's had enough at bats to qualify for a batting title.
Yeah.
Right. I think last time I checked, he was 205 or 207, somewhere around there.
Yeah. And we will share the Stoughton article because it was very well put together and it. But I wonder, with how hurt he was last year and how poorly he's played this year, is that going to be what people remember? And heaven forbid, if the Jays manage to turn this around next year, and they just today re-signed Marco Estrada, which would indicate they still feel like they're going for it next year. If that happens and Bautista is not back for it, does it not look like... that was the guy who was holding us back and his added. Like, there's a lot of fans with a short memory.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. That's any fan group, but
yeah.
his numbers were on the decline last year.
Yes, they were.
And then they've just further gone into the toilet this year, and his arm isn't what it is. His defensive range.
Like, he was unsigned until late January. He tried to go a lot of places. He tried to find a deal. The Jays didn't necessarily want him back. After what happened with Edwin, they kind of, both sides had to kind of go, all right. But that was only weeks before spring training.
No, this is it exactly. And so I think, is he not the current home run franchise leader?
Oh, I believe so.
Yeah. And so if not, he's in the top three.
Right.
And that's what you have to remember. And he was clutch in those couple of playoff.
I don't know if he's the home run leader or not. We probably should look that up. But he certainly has had more big seasons, right? Like, did Delgado hang around long enough and chip away 30?
Delgado certainly never had a 54 home
right,
run
that's
and,
right.
and a couple of back-to-backs. Like, to me, I know Delgado was up there.
Yeah.
But he was never, to me, the home run hitter.
No.
That even
but
George Bell was. Or
in hockey, Mark Recchi, right? Can you just hang around long enough to keep...
Yeah, but you're talking about not... I'm talking about as Jay.
Yeah, no, I
understand. And Delgado wasn't around that long.
Yeah. It must be Bautista.
Anyways, I know Edwin, there was a stat last year that they were both sort of right there. They were within a couple of home runs of each other. Anyways, that's not the point. Point is simply, yeah, his stats are, especially from 2010 through 2015, you can't deny, right, what he's done. And
the face of the franchise and the on-field performance.
Right. Man. And what I would like to point out, though, is I think he's made his bed. People were willing to – okay. And again, his whole chippiness, I get it, right? He's come up the hard way. He made his own way, you know, down to Florida, through the university ranks. You know, the number of trades he had before he ever even made it out of single A-ball.
Yeah.
Right? Like – people saying, you're just a commodity, and they're flipping him. He's never getting the time, never getting the development he needs. I get it.
You have to feel like I don't owe you anything.
Right. And anybody.
After what I've been through.
I'm my own.
Yeah.
This is me. I've done all this myself. And I agree with him.
Yeah.
Right. And he did have a good eye. Right. He was that sort of, he owned the strike zone.
Yep.
Right. And the article points it out that you wonder if he's a bit of the author of his own demise in terms of the amount of bitching at umps.
Yeah.
Where they go, yeah, okay. Well.
Guess what? We're going to stretch your strike zone a little, pal. Right? These sorts of things. And he still, for years, was still so fucking good.
Yep.
And he you talk about that arm, and that was an underestimated thing for a long time. He blew that out because of his chippiness.
Well, he tried to throw a guy out at first base.
Yeah. I think it was Jones for the Orioles. And he hated that guy, and he got a chance, and he makes a play that he shouldn't have tried to make, and he blows his shoulder out, and it was never the same again. But all of that out of competitiveness, right? Against a rival, against a guy
that
I don't like. So do I. But as you kind of have pointed out here, how many times was he the author of his own problems, right? Like how many times did he create his own issues?
Right. And so what I was saying, though, was if you look at it, and I think fans don't mind that. If you're gonna blow your arm out trying to make a play,
yeah,
even if it's not advisable,
right?
Right, but you get it. Everybody can go, yeah, I get it. Suck it, Jones. Right? He didn't get him, but he's still. You're like, I want to show that guy,
yep.
And I get it. He's competing. It's scrappy, and fans are okay with that
for sure.
I think fans aren't okay when you turn it on the fans, right? Or at least not turn it on the fans as much as saying, yeah, I don't care. The team knows what I'm
worth.
Pay me.
Yep.
That's it. And you're like, hey, man.
We all understand.
We just did this.
We all understand it's a business and that's probably where your attitude. You don't have to be so public about it, right? Be that dick through your agent to the GM. Don't be that dick on SportsCenter.
Which is all that the fans see,
yep.
Right? And we're coming off this high and everyone's like, yeah, we're going to roll right into 2016 and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And you're like, oof.
It's not awesome.
And Edwin and, you know, they both went about it in different ways, right?
Yeah.
Edwin's like, yeah, well, my agent will handle that, and
yeah,
I like it here, and blah, 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 and but Batista's like, yep.
But there was now and then, and
30 schmil, that's it.
How many times did, you know, there was times where Bautista alluded to the race card being played against him, right, in terms of when I celebrate, when I'm passionate, this is the way we are, and, you know, if it was one, I'm paraphrasing in a pretty wild way. You know, if it was one of your white boys that was acting this way, no one would say anything.
My name was Johnson or Smith, I believe is what the article said.
Yeah.
And you know what? One of the other guys, and just follow me down the road here a bit, that I was looking at in terms of sort of polarizing, and it fits here because another Dominican ball player, George Bell.
Yeah. Well, I'm willing to follow you, but he's a little bit. My memories of him are not as strong because I was much younger, right?
Right. But he, through the mid-80s to the late 80s, through 89, 90, he killed it.
Yeah.
Right? As a power-hitting, you know, strong-armed left fielder, right? But he also had this sort of, he didn't speak, his English wasn't great.
Yeah.
And he came out and fans got on him a bit. He wouldn't do interviews. You know, he said at one point, he goes, yeah, well, the fans and the media can kiss my purple ass. Right? So this is another Dominican.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Who loved the ball. Loved ball. That was it. Like, and he would throw down at the drop of a hat, right? Like, just go and look at George Bell, Bruce Kissin from the Red Sox. You know, Kissin's pitching up and in on him. And Bell's looking out at him saying, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
Right? Comes in again. Bell runs out and drop kicks him. Yeah. And you're like, I was looking at another one later when he was with the White Sox. Guy pitches up and in, and then one goes, the next one comes in behind him. Man, and George Bell just runs out and he threw a haymaker like,
yeah.
Like nobody, like, just like, I wanted to knock this guy out of the dome. Right? Like he just, fiery, and he's saying, yeah, I don't care. You know, you're going to come at me, I'm going to come at you. And he says it's the Dominican ball player way, right? We live this sport.
Well, this is interesting, man, and this isn't really where I saw this conversation going, but European hockey players, Dominican, Puerto Rican baseball players, you look all over, Brazilian soccer. What is it about everyone but plain, dull, white North Americans that enjoys their sport, and the rest of us are, no, don't do that. You just behave. Just.
Yeah.
Everyone else is having a great time. We're sitting here going, no, calm down.
Yeah. Hey, don't get too excited.
Yeah.
Don't get too excited over there, you.
Yeah, it's fucked up, man. Because we see it across many different sports, right?
Yeah, and in hockey, you're talking about the Euros who like to celebrate the goals.
Well, I'm talking about that in all sports.
Okay.
The Dominicans and the Puerto Ricans and Venezuelans who have a great time, a baseball game's a party. Man, think of some of the celebrations you've seen in soccer, right? Like,
well,
the NBA is known for their...
When we rip off a great podcast here, I whip my shirt off too. Yeah, exactly. Run around. It's awesome.
It's really only happened once because we've only ripped off a great podcast.
That's more Patreon action right there.
Yeah, exactly. We'll pay you to watch that.
But see, and that really comes down to that Anglo-Saxon background, right? Where you're like,
No, I don't like that. Don't do that. No.
Hey, no singing.
Yeah.
No dancing.
Hey, no fun in your games. I know you're all out here playing games, but don't have fun while you're doing it.
It's a business, man.
I wanted to talk about last week at the Toronto International Film Festival. There was a film produced by, interestingly enough, I didn't even know this existed, LeBron James Production Company, on Vince Carter. And it wasn't so much a... Now, neither you and I have had a chance to see it. Strangely enough, we were not invited to TIFF.
I actually had a red card.
I believe. Yes, this is
a red carpet invitation. Nah, fuck it. Forget about it. I already botched
blew it. Yeah.
Dropped the ball in the two.
Yeah. So, but the film was more about his impact on basketball in Toronto and Canada. And there was people like Drake around to introduce it. And then, of course, Masai Ujiri, now of the Raptors, was...
Fuck you, Brooklyn!
Yeah, I love that. And the conversation kind of gets started. What is his legacy in Toronto? Because he's a different type of polarizing. The impact that he had in Toronto was undeniable over the short term. But the way he left has soured some people.
Man,
they never won anything with him.
And he's still playing.
He is still playing to the point where I actually saw a rumor would be too strong or a report would be too strong that said the Raptors could actually use him this year, a small forward. And
it was a Sportsnet article.
Yeah, that said he could still, you know, contribute for that. Now he's going to be a little expensive.
I say dude's playing 8 minutes a game in Sacramento.
Well, he was in, was it not?
No, sorry. He may be in double digits minutes played, but his points
per
game.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember where he was last year.
Memphis Grizzlies?
Memphis is what I was thinking of, yeah. And he started in the playoffs. Now, they lost quite quickly, but to a good San Antonio team.
Yep.
So, I wonder, when you look at some of the stuff that has happened, and all we can compare to are the Jays and the Leafs, really in Toronto. Out front of the ACC... They've got their statues, right, of Dave Keon, and there's whatever. There's nothing from the Raptors. It's a much younger franchise. What is the proper approach? Should there be some kind of jersey retirement? Should they honor Vince? Does it set the bar too low in terms of what we deem to be?
Well, I think there was a spot where he was top five in the NBA.
So never won an MVP, but two or three straight years led the All-Star voting.
Right, and okay.
Okay, but that's a big deal for a guy playing in Canada.
Yep, yeah, okay. And all I'm saying is...
It was the only reason the Raps ever got on ESPN.
I'm totally jaded on any All-Star game, so...
I understand, but I'm just trying to find different ways.
I get your point, and I get the value of what you're placing on it. An eight-time All-Star, I believe, was what I was looking at, too. You know, his points per game, especially in the early... 99, I think, was his first season, but he was up to 29 points a game, third highest in the league by 2000, 2001.
Yes.
A dominant, you know, that people still talk about 15, 16 years later, his dunk.
It's over.
Yeah. And I think you can't, they've never seen anybody like that since.
Right.
Right. Just in terms of the flair and how dynamic he was and. Man, smooth at 6'6", just the way he could. Man, he was a dynamite athlete. To me, the difference is I think he was more of a dynamic player than Bautista is.
Yep.
And I think the fans never questioned Bautista's heart and soul in a non-contact sport, right?
Yep.
And basketball, well, a non-contact sport is a contact sport.
Sure.
Right?
Way more than baseball,
for sure.
Yeah.
And so, but you never question Batista's give a shit factor.
Right.
And so I think with
to the point where lots of people ask Batista, could you give a little bit of a shit less? Because you're killing, harming yourself, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. You're taking the attention away from a good vibe when, you know, we're trying to do something else.
Right.
So whereas to me, Vince, I think got to a spot where they started to get hurt.
Yeah.
People questioned his toughness.
What did you think of before Game 7 against the 76ers going to his college graduation? Because that's the thing that people still talk about
and
in terms of...
That is the turning point because what was it? The next season he's...
When they're right there and they miss that shot, he's got the ball, the final shot of Game 7. There's no way to say that if he doesn't go, he makes that shot, right?
But if he makes that shot, nobody talks about it.
That's right. That's right.
Nobody does. And you open yourself up.
And that's where the question of what comes first started to drift in his game, right? How much do you care? You're going and doing this for you, and then you're on the MLSE jet out to...
Hey, we all want to go to our graduation. We all want to do something. But you know what else I want to do? I want to make $10 million a year to do the sport I love.
Right. I want to win an NBA fucking championship.
When you get paid like that, your expectations are different than Tom, Dick, and Harry, right? You no longer can do all those things.
Yeah.
And I think that sours people, right?
If he
makes that, people are like, woo, you're the man.
I think that was probably the first time since he'd arrived where criticism started to drift in. People started to wonder about his commitment. It was a big moment.
Well,
and like you said, if he hits that shot, no one talks about it.
And coupled with the injuries.
Yeah.
Right?
But so that would start to come in a little later.
No. There was a definite...
Was that not 2001? I think the 76ers and 2000 or 2001. I believe it was 2001.
Okay, and you're right, because he played, I think, 7 years or something as a Raptor.
Yeah, he was still... it was around 2004 before he was...
Right.
Note, so.
But if you look at his point totals, as they just sort of go, his points per game average, right, drop, from that 29, down to 15 or whatever it was. And then his first year in New Jersey, 27, right back up again, right? And you think, and I think that's the difference between Vince and Jose, right, is I think people felt like Vince sort of quit a bit on Toronto.
Yeah.
And, man, a lover scorned. Nobody is more bitter, right?
Well, I mentioned earlier how Toronto fans will boo anyone who returns. No one like Vince, right? People still to this day boo Vince when he returns because of the way he left, right?
Yeah.
And that's legit, and I get that. It's more when the team trades you and you didn't want to go, and Toronto fans boo you coming back.
So, but you ask about the benchmark. I think the franchise is 25 now. Yeah. He's still, I was watching, I told you, I watched that that sort of top 10 Raptor players of the 25 years.
Yeah.
He's number one.
So that's where let's say, if he retires at the end of this season, give it a year or two or three or whatever it is, would you retire his number?
I think you have to.
So I hoped you'd walked into that because I've been wrestling with this for a while. Michael Grange, in a column he wrote, and I think, for me, he's when I want to read about basketball, Grange is usually where I go to read.
So that's never. When masturbation no longer does the trick.
Yeah, I'll let you know. So if we assume, and we should, that DeMar DeRozan will finish his career with all of Vince's records in the rear view, he will be the points leader. He will be he'll hold everything. Do you then have to retire his number?
Yeah.
What if they...
If you are the franchise leader, you have to. And you've gone to an Eastern Conference final.
So Damon Stoudemire, after 2 years, was probably the franchise leader, right? That's a young franchise that's never won anything. Right now, DeMar DeRozan has taken the team farther than Vince ever did.
For sure. I think...
But they haven't won anything. No one's done anything, right? And that's where we start to look at comparables like Bautista, Delgado, Gilmore, Clark, Alfredson. You want to look across. What did you do? The fans really like you. You were here, but you never won shit. I
can't speak to Gilmore and Clark, but I certainly know Alfredson at least made it to a cup. Similar to, to me.
So Bautista never played in a World Series.
Nope. We're not talking about Bautista.
No, but would you honor him? Would you... Put him on the...
I think he makes it on the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Vince, I think what you're looking at is how bright his star shone in the years from, sort of 99 through 04, right? He was a stud. And he actually took a young franchise and put it on the map.
The interesting one about
Stoudemire
Vince.
Was never able to
no,
do that.
That's right.
And so you've taken a team and you've moved it from looking sad sacks, bang, and you've put it into the status of.
So to a certain extent, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah,
but,
okay, cool, no problems. I love that.
But this is a precedent setter. This is a 25-year-old franchise who has not yet retired anyone's number, and once you do Vince. who never won you anything, never got you to a conference final, let alone an NBA final. What comes next? What, like, you've definitely opened, to me, DeMar DeRozan is a good player, but retire his number good?
Well, depends. He still has a chunk of career to play.
Chris Bosh. He was the guy for 5 years in Toronto.
Yeah, and Chris Bosh is Tim Duncan without the championships.
And the talent.
Yeah, okay. But I'm just saying it's the type of game, right?
Yeah.
It's a big man versus and playing.
But I'm just saying, how different ultimately is he than Vince? In terms of contribution to the franchise, in terms of what did you win? What did you get done? What did you...
Okay.
And that's the only reason I lumped in Delgado, Gilmore, Clark, and Alfredson. Fans loved them, contributed a ton, had great numbers, but didn't fucking win anything.
Yeah. And all I'm suggesting is, and totally transparently, I'm going to go on record here and say, this is a guy who just, as I said, Sean, the star was so bright. Those other guys never had that sort of cachet that Vince had in his heyday with the Raptors.
So Vince, to me, has far more cachet than DeMar. But DeMar, out of longevity, is going to finish with better numbers as a Raptor. And that's where I'm only staying on this. I'm only harping on it because this is a precedent setter,
the
right? They've never done it yet.
Okay. But the older your franchise gets, the more serious those franchise records get.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is I don't think DeMar at this point has ever got or ever had the sort of sizzle that Vince has had in that very short burst.
But that's why everyone, and rightfully, laughed at the Leafs for retiring Gilmore and Clark and whatever. When you way back, stop comparing those guys to Dave Keon or Syl Apps or Cyclone Taylor or whatever you want to do, right?
Wow.
Yeah. You can't hold Gilmore and Clark in the same regard. And that's what I wonder, and that's what's interesting about this. This is going to be the first one for the Raptors.
See, we always talk just a little.
Yeah,
sure. Let's just hang out on Hockey Island for just one second here.
We do that.
Yeah, when you talk about the Senators with their little brother, you know, complex when they look at the Habs and the Leafs, I think to some extent Leafs suffer the same thing when it comes to jersey retirements when they look at the Habs, right? And they go, yeah, well, yeah, we're going to retire Clark and Gilmore. How many cups did those guys win? None, but
Didn't Doug win one in New Jersey? Was he there in 95? I can't remember. Dougie might have one. No, Dougie for sure has one in Calgary. No, I'm just saying.
Yep. I do know what you mean.
They didn't win shit for Toronto.
I know. But yeah. And I get what you're saying, though. There's no denying what Gilmore, in his very short tenure in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
What he and Clark meant to that franchise.
But so only really, when you were so bad.
Okay. Well, and those
for
guys.
So long.
So, but when, honestly, I remember when Clark got, he came in and he was fighting and he was scoring and he was hitting like a brick shit house. He was doing all those things, and that was a franchise starved for anything.
Yes.
Mike Palmatier. What? Who cares about Mike Palmatier? Yeah. Right? And so this is a franchise that just, it's what those players meant. And when you retire a jersey, you don't retire it for the other 30, 31 teams, whatever it is in the NHL. You retire it for your team.
That's been my stance for a while.
And your fan base.
The Hall of Fame is for great players who win championships. And when you retire a number, you do it for your fan base.
Well, like, I probably argued against that somewhere in a previous podcast.
I think you and I frequently switch places in some of these arguments depending
on
who we're speaking of.
It fits what I want to talk about. So,
like, to me, I'm not that upset that they retired Gilmore and Clark's number. It wouldn't upset me if Ottawa retired Chris Phillips' number. Right? Like, okay, yeah, but it's for your fans, right? Yep. He's not getting in the Hall of Fame. That's the only reason I put him out as it.
Then you got to retire Chris Neal too.
Sure.
No.
Okay. Well, but we're talking about similar aged franchises, the Raptors and the Senators.
Yeah, 25 years. Yeah, both came in the same time.
When you set I'm fine with Alfredson, obviously. That makes sense to me.
And, for sure.
But what you do within your franchise to honor or retire or whatever is for your fans. The Hall of Fame will sort out who's.
And so to me, I think you have to wait and see. On the Vince front, doubling back to where we started with this, you have to double back and say, is there amends made, right? Like if he did come back and he was sort of that sixth guy, the first off the bench guy, and he could sort of—
Does he have to play for you to make amends, do you think?
Yep.
So you— if he retires at the end of this season, having never returned to Toronto, you can't retire his number.
Oh no, I didn't say that. I just meant—
sorry, I thought that's what we were—
No, I just meant in terms of making—
You know, it's gonna be hard.
That wholesale healing between he and the fans.
Because he's still, I think, probably more than anyone in any sport coming back to Toronto anymore. Gets booed. Well, that was a—
I know, but I'm like, that's what you do.
That's the only thing you do. Well, that's what made you who you are.
And so what happened is he's saying that due to knee injuries and having all kinds of— where he just didn't have the—
Right? I think it's— he more than any other athlete, whoever comes back to Toronto, in as long as I can remember, took it the hardest, right? In terms of fan vitriol.
Yeah. Well, because fans feel like he left them.
Yeah.
He got traded, but he clearly—
He was asking to be traded. He had made a whole bunch of, you know, there was a lot of shit going on there that fans knew about. And I just think this one is so interesting because, yeah, he put the franchise on the map, and for a couple of years he was all over ESPN, the U.S. Olympic team in 2000, right? He dunks over that French guy.
Like totally crotch in the face over that French guy.
He absolutely destroyed him.
Yeah.
And like in an all-time, people still watch on YouTube.
But he was like 7 feet tall.
Yeah. But the way he left and the fact that he never won— – they have to set a precedent here at some point. Someone will be the first guy retired. It makes it interesting, right? Okay. Can you just play long enough to rack up the points to get ahead of him, and then so you have to be retired?
Yeah, all right. But he played seven, tops 8 years. And some of those were— – his first year was the lockout shortened 40-game, 50-game season.
Yeah, I think that's right.
He had some injury-shortened years. Like his games played as a Raptor, DeRozan is going to have to— – work hard to sort of get that points per game as a Raptor.
Yeah.
To me, that's where you have to look at it. Just how high.
But DeRozan's already been to a conference final and Vince never got there.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right. And
a better team around him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you're right. And to me, that's what you're looking for is team success. So
you would, though, right now, let's assume he never plays another game, even in the league. You would retire his number?
Yes.
Yeah, and after all that, I think I probably would too.
For sure.
At some point,
it's a conversation.
Yeah.
And really, I know a lot of times we get into these back and forth and they get heated, and then you're like, yeah, but—
Well, it's no fun if we both just open a show and
right?
And show then, over 3 minutes.
Okay, but I'm just saying. And at the end, you're like, yeah, but you know what? I don't really give a fuck. So it's—
Well, I do. I just find this one interesting because of the precedent, right? There's never been one, and you're gonna set the bar here.
Yeah.
Now he's an interesting player to have to do that with, right? In terms of where the franchise was at compared to where he was at.
Right, and to me, his statue is absolutely his. It's got to be his dunk, you know, his.
So you want to do the statue too out in front because there hasn't. Eventually, there will be one.
If you're gonna do him, but who else?
What do you mean?
Like
right now, out in front, it's all Johnny Bowers and Dave Keons and
for sure
and whatever in front of the ACC.
It is a basketball building, though.
Yeah, ultimately supposed to be.
Yeah, this is it. This is it. It doesn't matter that
most of the people who go there don't know that.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, you have to. I think at some point,
I'm not giving him a statue.
You have to look at the.
He got a win to get a statue.
At the other anchor tenants, well. Yeah, okay. How long before that happens?
I don't know. Depends. Right? Like,
Do
they go off a cliff this year and they need the fans' attention for something, or do they continue to build?
Well, and it's a great point.
Like, right? For a long time, the Leafs sucked and they had to do something. So, here, remember 50 years ago when we were good? Here's 95-year-old Johnny Bauer being wheeled out.
Well, Johnny Bauer is the sort of, and you're like, when you see those, and I always make fun of it, right? Because you look at, when they talk about, you know, Habs greats come out and they're wheeling out a bunch of, you know, Hall of Famers.
Here's and, Howie Morenz.
Yeah, well, and all of, and John Beliveau and yeah. all those things, you know, Rocket Richard and
yeah.
Maurice. No, Maurice is Rocket.
Henri,
exactly. And you just sort of go boom, boom, Jeffrey on. Now, some of these guys are dying off as well.
Sure.
LaFleur, Robinson, right? Yeah. Cup winning, Dryden. And you're like, and over here we have Johnny Bauer, Ace Bailey, maybe.
That 93, those 86 and 93 cups are going to keep the Habs able to have some.
Yeah, but
some
I don't
couple
want,
of
I, I'm not
life
showing up
while.
To see Desjardins.
Eric Desjardins. That's so fucked. That's the name I had too. That's Eric Desjardins.
Well, it's because he had a hat trick in the one game and he had like three overtime winners.
Don LeClair on that team.
Yeah,
man.
See, that's exactly right. That's but you're not going to roll in to see. But you would go to see Bob Gainey.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, Bob Gainey is.
Yeah, I know.
He's a legendary player.
Sure, he is. Sure.
But
he was
yeah.
on the 86 team still.
But
I
yeah,
think.
The, yeah, for sure he was.
Yeah.
But with Leafs, I'm talking about yeah. going Lanny McDonald.
Yeah.
Daryl Sittler.
Like to me, you're just marching out a bunch of players who were pretty good but didn't win shit.
Let's celebrate mediocrity.
Well, we're good at that, Matt. That's well, what
but you've had to be. You've had to
yeah.
be.
Yeah. For 56, oh man, like it's been a while.
Well, you're now entering the second half of the
right.
centennial.
Yeah.
Woo! Yes, sir, buddy. Anybody else in terms of, I know you said you had a couple of.
Well, just, and those were the names that I kicked. Delgado, Clark, and Gilmore in terms of very good, but
no,
you
but,
didn't
but
win with.
I was looking at more along the lines of polarizing Toronto athletes.
Yeah, okay. No, not a ton on.
What about Dion Phaneuf?
Yeah, but
or was
never.
He not, was he not polarizing?
No, he absolutely was. Matt Sundin was polarizing. People absolutely did not like Sundin when he arrived, hated that he was named captain, and then later on all pretended when he made his return with Vancouver, we always loved you, Matt. No, you fucking didn't. You wanted another Wendell Clark, which Sundin was never going to be, right? So to me, he's more polarizing than Phaneuf. Phaneuf just showed up, was miscast, put in a bad position on a bad team, and was never going to be able to fulfill it.
What about Roger Clemens?
I wonder if that one isn't more with hindsight. Like, at the time,
did
people loved
like,
having Roger.
Yeah,
right?
But did you feel like he was a J? I never felt
no.
like that guy was a J. He was a hired gun on a team
yeah.
that wasn't even a playoff team.
Yeah. Well, because he came, did he come in
97, 98.
Okay. So you're well removed from those World Series teams.
Yeah, no,
by
they
then.
They were 500 teams.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think you when you bring in what is still at the time regarded as a top pitcher in the game.
Well, he won a Cy Young
yeah.
or two after that, 01 and 04, I think.
Right, but won one in Toronto.
Two.
And then
back
said,
to back, 97 and 98.
And
the
then
two years,
said,
both
you know,
were...
the next year it's going to be Henkin. Like, he did all the right things. He said the team first things. But, yeah, he always felt like he's not really one of ours, right? And that's a really interesting one that I may have to research a little more ahead of another show. But that's a fascinating one. There's been so much just mediocrity in Toronto that has been put out in front as something to celebrate. Like, Curtis Joseph is probably my favorite hockey player ever, just because as a kid growing up, fuck, he was weird, right? Like, he almost Hasek-like in terms of the way he played, not yeah. as good as.
The more rubber he saw, the better he played.
Yeah, and he's kicking shit out, and he's diving all over the place, and I love that. Never won a fucking thing here.
Anywhere. Put him on great teams, like in Detroit.
Like in Salt Lake? On a Team Canada? Oof, you're gone after game one, buddy. And it's your
buddy.
Team's coach who's... running the bench.
Yep.
There's just something about Toronto that we'd rather, like, I remember, this is years ago now, reading this fascinating article that said people loved John McDonald more than they loved Roy Halladay. There's something about that.
Terrible.
Yeah. Of course it's terrible.
And I never got it. Johnny Mack.
I liked John McDonald, but I understood what he was, a bench player at best, right? And but it was the same thing. We liked Darcy Tucker more than Matt Sundin.
Darcy
right,
like, Tucker, that little mother.
But there was something about it's that Canadian way, right? It's that gritty. It's that. Yeah, but you have the most talented. It was the same reason Phil never got any love in Toronto. He didn't do the gritty. He'd go and score and score and score and score. Well, yeah,
had,
but he didn't go in the corner.
Guy had testicular cancer. Cut him some slack, man.
cut something.
Yeah, this is it. So,
it's an interesting place, man. That we Toronto fans value weird things instead of skill. I've said a number of times, and we've talked about this on the show. I think William Nylander is going to be better than Mitch Marner, but Mitch Marner's a good Canadian boy, and you're not allowed to say that.
But even more than that, if you look at guys like, at the time, Hossa, Havlat, Bonk, all these sort of more skilled guys, Mike Fisher, always the guy here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never the stats those other guys had.
It's kind of a mild, subtle racism that we have here in Canada.
But he plays a physical style of game, right. And if he has to, he'll drop him and punch you out. That's just...
And that's one of the things that analytics has so clearly made in hockey. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I loved Mike Fisher more than Marian Hossa. I would love to have Marian Hossa on my team, right? When you look at all these advanced things. And that, like you said, that kind of happens in all these, you know, he came back from cancer, did people give Saku Koivu the proper amount of respect or did we prefer Brian Savage, right? Like,
no.
In terms of contemporaries,
exactly,
right?
Like, exactly. Nobody preferred Brian Savage.
You put up some
Or Michael Ryder or any of those other guys.
No fucking newfie Michael Ryder. Yeah. No.
Nobody went in for that at all. Forget about it.
Anyway, it's just an interesting thing.
For sure it is. For sure it is.
Anyways. So we're both putting Vince and Bautista in their respective. I don't think either of them are Hall of Famers.
No.
Probably both get their numbers retired in
Toronto. For sure.
Anything else?
That's all I got, man.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
See ya!
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.